Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Squirrel.
He's Matt Hurst.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we going to rank today then, Squirrel?
Today, Hurst, we are going to be ranking the top 5 wrestlers.
Coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. Facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, rankers. Welcome to Top 5 Face-Off. Hurst, why don't you tell our new rankers what it is we do here and why the hell we bother doing it?
Well, what we do here, Squirrel, is we take a subject provided by our Patreons, our excellent Patreons, and we decide what the top 5 in each of those subjects is, and then we put it out there for the vote. Whatever the rankers choose becomes the official world rankings of that subject. One of us is always right, but who it is, well, that depends on you, the ranker.
Depends on you at home, rankers. And today, as you know, we are ranking the top 5 wrestlers. Not much given to us in this subject, Hurst. Just top 5 wrestlers.
Yeah.
Not top 5 even coolest wrestlers or best wrestlers, just wrestlers.
Top 5. I mean, that's probably good for me because I've not really followed wrestling. There was a period around the 99-2000 era when I watched WWF, as it was at the time. Of course, now WWE, because it's not saving the world. Or saving the animals of the world. So my window of knowledge is minimal. But hey, I'm going to go with what I know. And it was just a golden time for wrestling. Yeah, we'll see. I know you're a regular viewer of wrestling.
I used to be. I'm not really anymore. When you say regular, I watched it twice a year for WrestleMania, right. The Royal Rumble. I did watch it a little bit more back when it was on Sky One in like the 95 time-ish.
Gosh.
And of course, there was British wrestling from when we were very young. But spoiler alert, all of mine are from one of the big American shows, let's put it like that.
We won't go into too much of it now because, frankly, we're British and we can't just crack on with it. We need to dawdle and make some small talk. So how's the weather?
Well, especially as the weather is a hot topic right now. Fucking boiling.
It is.
If you
well
think
up.
We're talking faster than normal, Rand, because it's because I'm desperate to get out of my studio because it's fucking hot. It is bastard hot today. I don't actually know the numbers. I can do techno shenanigans to find out, I guess, what it's like at your end while I type away.
Well, it's also well up here. It's been high 20s. The plants are loving it because I give them a good watering every morning. Lemony Snicket is absolutely thriving out there. Unfortunately, the chili plant next to it, the leaves are looking dreadful, but it is cranking out an awful lot of chilies right now. So I'm not sure if I should just let it press on, or I don't know if it needs more water, less water. It's hard to tell. That one's causing me some grief. But the rest of my plants are doing well. Yeah, it's causing Doug some grief as well.
So it is. Hi, Doug. Hope you haven't bitten any old ladies recently. Oh, it was a young lady. Oh, I apologise for defaming him. It's 32 degrees C outside. I suspect it might be even more than that in here because I'm surrounded by bloody computers.
Gosh, wow, fuck me dead.
It's hot stuff. It's hot. What else is going on besides the temperature, Hurst?
Yeah, there's all sorts going on, some of which might lead into why I feel old and what's been gripping my shit, because there's one thing that has a universal coverage on that. We'll come back to that in a minute. My bathroom's nearly ready. We've been having work done on what was the fourth bedroom in the new house, has now become the master bathroom, because the other one was downstairs at the front, and it was rubbish and small and right by the window at the front of the house. And
you can't only have one bathroom, man.
It was... I'm doing down thumbs.
Down thumbs. That's what the kids are calling them nowadays, I've heard.
I guess I'm not young anymore then.
Thumbs down.
Down thumbs.
Down thumbs.
Double down thumbs. Up thumbs.
Up thumbs.
Give that a big up thumbs.
That's good.
So yeah, the bathroom's almost done. They started, it'll be 2 weeks on Thursday, and they're just on finishing touches tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to having a shower, because it's definitely cold shower weather. Cold bath is a slightly different prospect. That'll be nice, and that's been going on.
What else is going on, Hurst? Here's an interesting one, and it's a bit of a pop quiz for you as well. We had a lot of music in last week's episode, of course, when we talked about TV theme tunes. YouTube copyright struck us a few times. That's fine. That happens. That's normal. However, one of the copyright strikes stopped us from appearing altogether in a certain country. I'll tell you the country. It was Russia. What theme tune does Russia take offense to?
Thunderbirds?
No. Not Thunderbirds.
I mean, it's got to be something that A Team must be the A Team, right?
That's what I would have thought as well, but it is not the A Team.
Not the A Team. Elf?
No. It was one of our main ones. No.
Our main ones, right? Oh, it must be Murder She Wrote. You know how they hate Angela Lansbury over in Russia.
It was the Baywatch Fuji. I'll be there. Got as bad from Russia as.
Yeah, I wear that as a badge of honour, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, me too. Screw you, Russia. You don't get to hear the TV theme tunes episode on YouTube.
Unless you, find another platform or, go to another country on holiday and listen to it there.
Yes, find one of the many other platforms that were on before YouTube. But there you are. I thought that was interesting and weird. I couldn't find out any information about why. For that, I apologise, Rankers.
What has been gripping your shit?
Beside the weather being hot, I don't want to be one of those people that complains, oh, it's hot, like everybody seems to, but I am set up for cold weather. Like, I have evolved for cold weather. I have all the things I need to deal with cold weather. Apart from surface area, I struggle to have things to deal with the hot weather, so I've always preferred it being cold. It doesn't grip my shit that much, but it is certainly on my mind at the moment. What about you?
Well, I mean, what's been gripping my shit is also one of the multitude, apparently, this week of things that's been making me feel old. I feel, in fact, old enough to be Victorian because I have gout. That's right.
I'm sorry. It's just such a funny word.
Yeah. So I'm going to my Victorian diseases support group with my friends who have rickets and scurvy. The real sad thing was when I was looking at how you get it, it's like, too much uric acid and your kidneys aren't dealing with it properly can happen from high sugar intake. And I have a nasty feeling that our other project may be a contributing factor to my now having gout. Our other project, for those who aren't aware and have been living under a rock, is energy drink video review. Available on the likes of TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
Where we review energy drinks. And we've done some 200 plus energy drinks.
230, I believe, was the most recent time I looked at our big list. 233 years.
And I had to stop at one point because I felt like I was getting punched in the kidney. So I stopped for a good couple of months. And now I don't want to get sued by all of the energy drink companies. So I'm not saying that is what happened, but it might be a contributing factor to my current elbow situation. So there we go. That's been making me feel old and in generic pain. Yay.
There we are.
Two up thumbs from me.
Two up thumbs. And before we crack on, Hurst, one other thing we should probably mention is the big, hard, black cylinder I can see in front of you.
Last week, my microphone, which I got brand new, turned out to be dreadful. But now I've got it because it does look like a cool microphone. So now it's just going to be a cool microphone I keep in my room as like an ornament, as a nod to, the podcast and all the Rankers.
Fair enough. Audio Tech Malks may be interested to learn we're both using Blue Yeti mics.
Except, obviously, that's not happening right now. Hello, Rankers, Squirrel here. I think during our mid-season break, one of us must have run over a witch or something because our audio quality has been cursed ever since then. Somehow, I ended up using my webcam microphone, which, as you can hear, is fucking dire. And I apologize profusely that I don't sound like this. Next week, fingers crossed, will both sound fantastic up in your ears. Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, and Vision gave me some excellent advice this week on microphones.
Excellent Patreon, The Vision.
But I decided to go for the same one as you, because one of the things he said was it'll be easier to match sound if you're using the same one. So that's what I've done.
Let's find out if that's true.
I hope it's working for the Rankers.
I also need to drop in an apology because I forgot to put the podcast onto Spotify. Whoops. Soz.
Yeah.
It's on there now. It was like 3 days late, so we've waited a little longer than normal to record this episode. But there's plenty of votes in, so we don't feel like anyone was seriously, so what I'm looking for, cut out by not getting to vote. I think everybody got it. Right. Would you like to hear some comments?
Yeah, go on then.
The first one is a vote for you. Bit of a double-edged sword, this comment, Hurst. Good job on having Quantum Leap on your list, because Band of Brothers was a clapped pick. That means bad, I think, nowadays, Hurst.
No, that's a...
No, clapped, I think, literally means ugly, which is a bit strange, but there you are. They didn't like Band of Brothers, but they did like Quantum Leap enough to vote for you anyway, Hurst, so that's nice. One for me from regular commenter Meg98, votes for me and says, I can't believe Hurst doesn't see the genius of the Murder, She Wrote theme.
Shut up, Meg.
It's too obvious. Sorry, Meg. Thank you very much for your comment. Ignore that, cretin. Anonymous voting for you says, love that speech impediment. For clarity, Hurst doesn't have a speech impediment. It's just all the work I had to do to make him sound like he had one. It's really weird.
So I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about.
A fairly long anonymous comment for me, a vote for me. I knew the A-Team would be in this. It is just too good. Not much from before the 80s, I guess, apart from Thunderbirds. So you're missing out on The Prisoners, The Professionals, The Sweeney. But there are so many really good themes. It's not surprising that so many got missed out. Oh, and as I'm sure everyone has already told you, the name of the cricket tune is Soul Limbo. I did learn this from various sources. I didn't know that cricket tune had a name. Yeah, lots of good themes got missed out, as we said in the episode, because there's just too many good ones. Any more people making comments and voting for you? No, they're all me. Vote for me. Squirrel's going to have to do something terrible to lose after Futurama was pitted against Band of Brothers, and he didn't. So there we are. Good. Some Band of Brothers hate us.
I don't understand it. It must be people who just haven't seen it.
Yes, and quick reminder that we're voting for the feature and not the TV show, which you talked about for 3 minutes and didn't mention the music once.
Yeah, it's just such amazing music. And actually, we did talk about it because it's emotional. We talked about it being Bull's theme.
Well, you talked about it being Bull's theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Anyway. Moving on before you stare at me too much. Comment from Kovac. Thunderbirds and the A-Team swayed it for me. If Hurst is not eating, he has a crap microphone. We know. Does he hate the listeners? He does not. I'm not going to lie. It's from Gavin and Stacey. Hence it hit common parlance. There we are. Like that. And he was shouting out that the answer was Fawlty Towers for that theme tune that I couldn't guess at the end. Cheers, Kov. Cheers, Kov.
Well, I'm Kov.
And last one from The Vision, excellent patron, The Vision, who has helped us out with microphones. Very close this week, but the inclusion of Futurama tips it for me. Also, Fatboy Slim, good knowledge, says The Vision. Thank you very much. And one which I believe is from my wife, even though it's anonymous. It says, I knew he loved Murder, She Wrote, really. I do not, but I do like the music. Big smiley face from the wife, who is the person you hear at the beginning and end of each episode telling you not to listen to our filthy potty mouths if you are easily offended. Hurst, I have the numbers.
Is it going to be a Blighton?
One vote in it, Hurst.
Oh, shit.
A Blighton is a famous five, I assume. You got 18 votes. I got 19 votes.
Ridiculous.
Couldn't be much closer.
Such a conspiracy, but that's fine. So that's a famous five, or we're calling it a Blighton.
Rankers, the official top five TV theme tunes are Soul Limbo, the music to BBC Test Match, Futurama, Thunderbirds, Murder, She Wrote, and the A-Team. It's official.
It's you, mate.
Everyone loves it, Hurst. It's just you.
Well, I mean, it's official, so, you know, I have to acquiesce and say those are the rankings.
Once again, your number four pick, contentious, as Band of Brothers at your number four.
Yeah, I'm ever so confused about that. And maybe just people don't like classical music.
Maybe, maybe. Let's find out if they like classical wrestlers. All right, let's discuss the top five wrestlers. How do we find out who goes first?
I suggest that we flip the coin of destiny.
All right, heads for Hurst, squirrels have tails. Up it goes. It's heads for Hurst. You are going first this week, sir.
Okay, for me, number five, The Undertaker. 6'10", 300 pounds, signature move, the tombstone piledriver, and the chokeslam. 33 years in WWE is incredible longevity for a sport that is so intensive on the body. Yeah, it's sports entertainment, so it's scripted, almost dance stuff, but me dead, do they do some serious
shit.
Like, the amount their bodies go through is just for everyone's entertainment and for the millions and millions of dollars that they get. It's an incredible achievement to just keep doing it for that long. And he's an icon of WWE. Everyone, even people who aren't really interested, know who The Undertaker is. So for me, he had to be on the list. But There was a bunch of other really cool ones I wanted to put above him, so Undertaker number 5.
There you are, fair enough. Absolute, as you said, WWE wrestling icon, and enormous as well. My number 5 is going to potentially have 50% of anyone that watches wrestling voting for you immediately, because you either love my number 5 or you hate my number 5, which is... John Cena.
I was going to say, can you see him?
Yeah, no. Maybe you can see him, maybe you can't. Maybe he's a potato salad and many other jokes. I like John Cena. I think he is a lot of fun. But honestly, I think he deserves to be on this list. John Cena has been also in wrestling for a very, very long time. He has 16 world titles from the WWE. That's really good if these things count for anything. But what's really there about Cena is he's amazing at playing to both of his fans and the people that hate them. And he has an excellent understanding of both. Every time he's in the ring, some fans will shout, "Let's go Cena," and the other fans will shout, "Cena sucks." And he loves both sets. Like, he is definitely there for that. There are not many wrestlers who work as well with the people that hate them as Cena does, and he just does it brilliantly. And he's funny, and he gets all the jokes about himself. I like him. John Cena, number 5.
Yeah, fair play. He was a bit after my time. I'm aware of him, obviously, because he's gone into movies.
Yes, like many, well, some wrestlers. Many have tried.
Yeah. And I understand he's divisive. I've heard this as well, but I don't really know a lot about it. I don't have strong feelings either way, but I'm going to use my classic number 4 to mess things up, but I don't care. I'm content to keep losing as long as I'm true to myself. And there's a couple of picks in here that are contentious, but right, I've got my reasons. At number 4, I have Jake the Snake Roberts. 6'6", 250 pounds, and his signature move is the DDT. He actually popularized the move and gave it its name, the Down Dirty and Twisted. Ooh. That's pretty cool. But the main reason I picked Jake is because the man knows how to take a wasp sting. That's right. I've got a little anecdote for you.
All right.
I've been married before, right, Carly? Yeah, so my ex-brother-in-law, Dave, who does his own YouTube thing with little figurines, like comic book figurine guys, it's called Displaying Model Behavior.
Right, yeah, very good, very good.
But yeah, he used to do wrestling, and Jake the Snake taught over in the UK for a little while, and Dave was one of his students.
Excellent.
So Catherine, my ex-wife, and I used to live in the same property as her parents in a little annex. Well, one day we came home, and just sitting outside the house having barbecue was Jake Roberts.
Brilliant.
It's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he is a big man. Like, 6'6", 250 pounds. Even as an older guy, he was still a massive dude. But anyway, we were sitting there having our barbecue, and I was thinking, this is really cool. And then out of nowhere, Jake the Snake Roberts goes, "Ah, motherfucker." And he just reaches around, got stung, chucks his wasp on the floor, carries on eating his burger. Like, you are the coolest guy I have met to this point in my life.
I guess when you've been dropped on your head as many times as he has, wasp stings, right?
Yeah. I guess that's it. His nervous system gone, or he just doesn't really feel pain. It felt so much, but just to get stung by a wasp and have that kind of reaction to it and then just carry on chomping your burger, what a legend. So that in itself is enough to put Jake the Snake Roberts in at my number 4.
All right. I like it. I like it. My number 4 is less controversial from a wrestling point of view, more controversial because nowadays he's turned into a massive tool. Massive being the operative word. But my number 4 is the legendary Hulk Hogan. There's no other way to describe it. Without Hogan, there's probably no WWE, probably not as much wrestling as we have now. Like, wrestling is mainstream because of Hulk Hogan. In the 80s, he was wrestling. Like, it's as simple as that. Back when he joined, the WWE was still a regional business. This is the early 80s, and Vince McMahon literally gambled the future of the company on him, and it paid off massively, as we know. WWE is enormous now. Hogan was everywhere. He was like a superhero to all children. He had big muscles, he had the charisma, he had his ridiculous mustache, he had his signature red and yellow clothing, which he would tear off, only the top half, family show. You know, he was on cereal boxes, he's on cartoons, he had his own cartoons, he had his own TV show, right? Thunder in Paradise. Yeah, that's not going to trouble many lists. He was in movies, all sorts of movies. He was in Rocky III.
Rocky.
Right? Yeah,
Fosse. Yeah.
Thunder Lips? Was that his name?
I don't think, maybe.
But yeah, quite simply, it's impossible to ignore the impact Hogan had on wrestling. And even though now he's a massive douchebag, he's got to be on my list.
No, that's fair enough. I can see why he's there. I'll not go overlook the massive douchebag bit. So he's not going on my list. Spoiler, I don't like him. I don't want him there.
All right.
Boo.
Boo indeed.
But again, you have to give him his dues for what he did for wrestling. So fine. My number three will probably be contentious just because it's not further up the list. And wrestling enthusiasts will no doubt, oh, what are you doing? You don't know. But still, number three, I've got Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who I know is just loved by wrestling fans, just unanimously. In that year and a half to 2 years or whatever I was watching it, he was out injured or something, and that was when you had Triple H and The Rock and the Generation X. Frankly, one of the best theme tunes ever, still on my playlists. The Generation X! And I was loving it, but the guy who I was watching it with was saying, you wait till Stone Cold comes back, and people just went mad for him. And he is just great with these stats, 6'2", 252, aka the Texas Rattlesnake, and his signature move, the Stone Cold Stunner, kick to the opponent's gut, followed by a three-quarter face lock,
yes,
a downward head slam. He's the rebellious, beer-guzzling, unpredictable wild ass, hence the Rattlesnake, like who just could bite at any minute. And from what I could see, it was like, it didn't really have any extraordinary moves, but he was just a force of nature. He was powerful and he just looked the part and had that, you know, hard to explain, that quality that makes a really dynamic and entertaining wrestler in WWE. And I only saw him for a little bit and he was great. He had 6 WWE championships, 2 Intercontinental championships, 4 tag team championships. He was the 5th person ever to have the WWE Triple Crown, King of the Ring 96, Royal Rumble winner 3 times, and in the Hall of Fame in 2009. Stone Cold is a legend, even for someone who doesn't really follow the wrestling. I knew he was going to be on my list. It's just whether I was going to put him at 1, 2, or 3, and I stand by my decision. He's going in at 3.
Fair enough, Hurst. It's your list.
That's right.
You get to be as wrong as you want to be.
I get to be wrong every single week.
Yes. So my number 3 is also possibly contentious because I haven't put them higher up. Hey, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Found it. Yep.
Nice.
You've covered nearly everything I wanted to say, so I'm gonna dive in to one of my favourite Stone Cold moments, if you don't mind, Hurst. March the 22nd, 1999, Hurst, is Monday Night Raw. It's the week of WrestleMania, so WrestleMania will be on that weekend. WrestleMania 15, if I've got my maths right. Let me know the maths. Austin was going to face The Rock for the WWF Championship, so it's all the big build-up in the ring. You had The Rock, who was still on the side of Vince McMahon and Shane. He was the corporation. He was the corporation champion at the time. They're cutting a promo. They're doing their power struts around the ring. You know how it is. Everyone's booing. The McMahons are loving it. The Rock was doing a very good job, as he does. Stone Cold's music comes in. He doesn't walk out first. He drives a beer truck down the ramp. He climbs on top of it, gets a massive hose, and starts spraying them all down in the ring with beer. And they're falling over, and they can't talk. Vince McMahon is clearly trying his best not to laugh. He is absolutely epic. And it's one of the moments that most wrestlers will know. If you say Stone Cold in the beer truck, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. It was great. Stone Cold was great for all the reasons you said. Good on him. Well done, Steve. And I can tell you, Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be officially the 3rd best wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's good to know that that's locked in. Right. Anyway, down to number 2.
Ooh.
Again, this is going to be a controversial one because I'm sure other people will say, ooh. But I have got number 2, Jeff Hardy. Six foot one, 225 pounds, signature move, the Swanton Bomb, a high-flying senton bomb from the top rope.
Yes.
Or the top of a ladder, or a cage, or a truck, or a building, yes, or seemingly anything at any height. The reason I think people won't like it is because when I was watching, he was more the Hardy Boys. And I know Matt Hardy went on to do, not because he was slightly bigger and more wrestler built, but if you go and watch a bunch of clips of Jeff Hardy doing Jeff Hardy shit, he is without doubt most daring and athletic wrestler in WWE. The shit that he pulled off just defied belief. And I initially had him in at number three because I thought, well, Stone Cold's got to be in my number two. Obviously, neither of those are my number one. I was like, you know what? I'm happy losing each week and being true to myself. And Jeff Hardy was the one that every week I was looking forward to seeing, because I wanted to see what ludicrous, acrobatic, gymnastic nonsense and ridiculousness he was going to put on someone. And as I watched back through it this week, watching various promos and best ofs and all the other bits that go around our research, and it gave me that feeling in the stomach. It's like, oh, I'm so excited to see what he's going to do now. He was just cool. He had the fire-coloured hair and bits, and he was just surf dude looking, but he was absolute badass. I did actually go on to become a WWE champion, a TNA champion. He was a WCW champion. He was the 18th WWE Triple Crown. So yeah, he did do some work in his own right, but watching the Hardy Boys each week was brilliant. I looked forward to the tag team fights more than I looked forward to most of the other ones. And the bants and stuff were good in the other ones, but in terms of pure athleticism, Jeff Hardy.
The high-flying Hardy Boys.
Yeah, so you can start celebrating your win already, I think. Don't even care. I'm ready for the... I won't just spoil what's after Blyton.
Fine. I don't think you're going to get much hate. I think a lot of people, especially around our age, were big fans of them Hardy Boys. I don't know if I'd pick Jeff over Matt or the other way around. I haven't really given it much thought. They went a bit strange, but as part of the gimmick when they moved to WCW, especially in the later years, that'll mean something to you or it won't. But yeah, he defied gravity. No one can jump that high. Right? Like, he's just going to leap off this ladder. But he goes up about 8 feet before he starts coming down. And I think.
And he sort of lands on his neck a little bit.
He does kind of just crash into the floor sometimes. And you're like, oh.
And it was inches from breaking his neck every time he did it. And just every time he just landed it perfect and didn't die.
Yes. I suspect only Shane O'Mac does stupider things, but he only does them like once or twice a year. Whereas, who did you choose? Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was out doing it. Yeah, each week or every other week. Yeah, so.
Well, Matt Hardy was good as well, but he wasn't as high flying, wasn't as daring. He was just a bit bigger and stronger.
Yes, he was. He was no slouch, let's be clear. He was still up the goddamn ladders like a maniac. If you or I had climbed up one of the ladders, I should be stood at the top clutching onto it, wobbling about like ladders are wont to do. These guys just sprint up them and dive off the top without thinking twice. So,
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Lunatics, all of them.
Not a bad shout, but let me tell you the actual number two best wrestler of all time. You can play along at home, Rankers, to get yourself in the mood. Switch off all your lights and ring a bell. Number two is The Undertaker. Max has already told you a couple of things about The Undertaker. He's told you he's very tall and he's a big dude. He absolutely is. And that he's been in wrestling, or had been in wrestling, for over 30 years, which is absolutely true. The Undertaker was a phenomenon. You know, he called himself the Phenom. Everyone else called him a phenomenon because he was. Nobody protected their gimmick like The Undertaker did. He was, let's be clear here, a supernatural undead mortician. That should have been ridiculous. Saying it out loud is ridiculous, but he made it iconic. He never broke kayfabe for like decades. Most of us had in that time. He didn't do out-of-character interviews. He didn't do TV spots on other shows. He didn't do podcasts. Well, they weren't as popular at the time. There was no breaking the illusion that Mark Calloway is his name. But he was The Undertaker. No one knows who Mark Calloway is unless they know. Everyone knows who The Undertaker is, like you say. Started in 1990, Ernst. So long ago.
Yes. bonkers.
And all right, in the more recent years, he was consistently injured and they just wheeled him out for WrestleMania because his WrestleMania success, the streak he had at WrestleMania, basically became his own storyline. Each year it was like 18-0 and then 19-0, and it got right up to, I think, 21-0, come at me, Wrestling Mouth, before he lost to goddamn Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And I'm like, what? Why has this occurred? It occurred because The Undertaker's a goddamn professional and you go out on your back. And that's exactly what he did. He started in the Hulk Hogan era, ended in the Roman Reigns era. That is such a long bloody time to be in wrestling. The only reason I haven't got him as my number one is because of his brief dalliance in the early 2000s to being the American Badass when he would ride a motorbike and pretend to be a Hell's Angel. And I didn't really like that bit. But otherwise, he wasn't the best talker. He wasn't the most technical wrestler. But when that gong hit, the entire arena felt something. No one else could make silence so terrifying. Number two, The Undertaker.
Excellent. Good choice. Before we get to the all-important fanfare, we'd better go and have a look at who's the worst. This is sad because when I was originally making my list of potentials, I looked at, I'll be honest, I've got two guys on my list and I watched them doing a fight and fucking hell. It was so shit. It is Giant Haystacks versus Big Daddy.
Oh, old Shirley Crabtree.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm going to do the stats for them anyway, because they are just wildly impressive. We'll do Big Daddy first. He was 6'6", 375 pounds. And in that fight, he was age 51. So, you know, fair play for that. But it sure as shit showed, because all they did was bump into each other for about 3 minutes and that was the fight over. So I didn't pick worst fighters, just the worst wrestling. Like, people turned up and paid their money to watch that. And it's only like 4 minutes long if you want to go and watch it on YouTube and just go, oh, that's a shame. But Giant Haystacks, 6'11", 699 pounds. That's 50 stone.
That is a little bit disputed. But they are the official numbers.
35.
Yes. He was enormous. Let's not mess about. Enormous.
I mean, he didn't live for a long time. I think he died around 50. But at that sort of size, you're never going to live a long time. It's like Great Danes. Love to Willow. But the bigger the dog, the shorter the lifespan.
Yes, indeed.
And I think to an extent, humans have a similar thing. But he was absolutely vast. And if you look at the shape of him, assuming that he is 6'11", to be honest, I can kind of believe that he's 50 stone because he's just enormous. A giant. But I went into it with so much anticipation because obviously this is early 80s. This was when I vaguely remember wrestling and thinking, oh yeah, Giant Haystacks, he's a monster, and Big Daddy. And I think one of them actually ended up killing someone by landing on him, or it was like a whole thing. And I remembered them being like, it was real wrestling. And I watched that and I was so mortified. You should watch it just to go, oh, wow. That went on telly. People paid money for that. Because nothing happened. They just kind of bumped into each other a few times. Then Haystacks went over the top rope and that was the end. What? Yeah, if you can think of the exact opposite of Jeff Hardy, that is what that was.
All right, fair enough. We should point out, in case some of our many, many, many American rankers who are going to appear in the future, I'm sure, have no bloody idea what we're talking about. These were British wrestlers.
Yes.
Cool. Well, my worst, I'm going back to WWE, but it's not far different in reasons for yours. Just an absolute shitty wrestler. Say it with me, WWE fans. It's the Great Khali. Of course it is. He was enormous. He is a 7'1", 7'2", depending on who you listen to, guy from India, and he was big. I don't have his weight here. WWE really wanted to get into India because, obviously, massive market. So they pushed the Great Khali really hard, and they had him succeed and succeed and succeed. He was shit, utterly shit. He succeeded to the extent where he won the world title. Like, everyone was booing because it was just god-awful. There's a sign in the crowd, which I will read out to you, because, you know, in the wrestling, people hold up their signs.
Yeah.
No one behind them can see, but whatever, their signs get on the telly. The sign said, "I feel compelled to stress that we are not booing because of your effective heel work. We are booing because you are simply awful." That's what was written on the sign. And it was true. He literally didn't speak. The storyline at the time was, because he was from India, hey, he spoke and read no English, making that sign a waste of time. wasn't true, as this quick story from comedian Brendan Burns will prove. Brendan Burns, big fan of the wrestling, was at the O2 watching when the wrestlers came over to the UK, and the Great Khali was walking to the ring, and Brendan Burns was near to where the wrestlers walked out, and he shouted at Khali to get his attention. He just kept going, "Sir, excuse me, sir," and eventually Khali looks at him and he goes, "You know how they say in wrestling circles that a man is such a great technician they could get a good match out of a broom? You, sir, are the broom." And apparently the Great Khali goes, "Oh, fuck off." Just got awful. And he is my worst wrestler pick. But that doesn't matter, Rankers. Don't you vote based on that information, because it's just for a bit of fun. Unless the Great Khali is listening, and I guess that's fine because he doesn't understand the English. Who's the number one host? Hit the fanfare.
Now, given my background, who do you think my number one is?
But
it doesn't matter who you think my number one is.
Oh, fuck, of course. Of course that was about to happen. I'm such an idiot.
It has to be The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
6'5", 260 pounds, the Brahma Bull. He was the thing that made me love wrestling in that small window. Not because he was good at wrestling, he wasn't especially, but his promos, his presence, just everything about him was just so innately watchable. It's little wonder he went on to have such a massive Hollywood career. Not that I particularly rate him as an actor, although he was great in Moana and Jumanji was quite good fun, but he was just so fucking funny. All his little freight, like that, the "it doesn't matter" was like just one of many he had. Every time he turned up somewhere and people, the crowd would love it, they'd go along with it, and "finally, The Rock has come back to," and wherever it was, and all he'd have to do was say "finally" and everyone would be into it. And most people maybe have one good catchphrase, but he had the "it doesn't matter," and he had "finally," he had "a million
and millions
of Rock's fans," he had "if you smell," or "shine it up real nice," just so many, "you know your role, shut your mouth," "and The Rock means never," "your Rudy Poo candy ass," just he laid the smackdown. Literally, he came up with smackdown, the expression that they then named his show after. Everything was the people's elbow, the people's eyebrow, even like the people's vomit. Just everything he said was golden and hilarious. He could go through a whole list of his catchphrases. In fact, he didn't ever really need to do anything.
No.
All he had to do was turn up, do his catchphrases, put a wicked insult on someone, and that was it. That was all you wanted from The Rock. I mean, the people's elbow was like a fun little finisher, even though it was shit. It was still brilliant.
Oh God, it was the most electrifying move in sports entertainment. No, it wasn't. He ran about a lot and dropped a weak elbow.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny. You just tell everyone that it's the most electrifying, and if they love you enough, they go, "Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right."
Because it's going to make me laugh. You know he's going to do it, and you know you're going to love it. And that was the joy. You knew exactly what he was going to do, exactly what he was going to say. And if you don't like my choice for number one, you can take that son of a bitch, shine it up real nice, and stick it up your candy ass. Yeah, I loved watching The Rock, and nothing can take that away. Those 2 years I had watching The Rock, there was no one close. That's my number one.
Fair enough.
Would you like a fact? And an estimated fact.
Oh, yeah, I haven't thought of that. Yeah, of course, let's go.
Fact. In 2015, he achieved a Guinness World Record for taking the most selfies in 3 minutes, snapping 105 photos. Fact. Until the age of 14, he was one of the smallest kids in his class before having a massive growth spurt.
100 and how many selfies in 3 minutes?
105.
That doesn't sound very impressive. Like,
very impressive.
You could just bang the photo button. I reckon I could take loads more than that. Did they have to have a different person in the picture each time or something?
I don't know. That's all of the information that I found.
It doesn't sound like a lot. That's like 1 a second, less than click, 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 click. I'm going to say that's a lie, because if it isn't, it's rubbish, and he shouldn't be proud of that. And I'm going to go beat it tomorrow.
Well, In 2015, maybe it was a lot.
Obviously.
Because it is a world record.
We had iPhones then. Come on.
Yeah, but maybe they were a bit slower then.
Well, that's slow. Sure.
I don't know what the rules were, but I read it. I was like, I thought the same. I thought, that doesn't sound like a lot, which makes it an excellent truth because it sounds unrealistic.
I should have thought of that. Yes, quite right. It is very hard to argue about The Rock being at number one of the top five wrestlers list. But in a surprise to probably everybody, including myself, I'm going to. My number one wrestler. is Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Dude Love. I am very surprised that I'm not talking about The Rock right now. I'm very surprised I haven't talked about The Rock at all, but I'm not going to. Mankind is one of the most emotionally compelling wrestlers ever. He was weird and vulnerable and twisted, and yeah, everybody loved it. He literally made people in the crowd cry during a sit-down interview. He was something special. He was, in a lot of ways, Mick Foley, the man. There was nothing superhuman about him, certainly. He didn't have a ripped-up, torn physique. He was a big dude, but he wasn't notably big, especially considering the company hung around him, right? But his ability to take punishment for the crowd was second to none. I mean, he went out to do hardcore wrestling in Japan, which is just ridiculous. Like, they have C4, fucking barbed wire and shit like that, and it's just insane. He was a good technical wrestler. He wasn't anything amazing. He was no Chris Benoit. Let us know if you want us to cut that bit out, Vince McMahon. But he made everyone around him look better. He helped get Triple H over as a legit main eventer. He made The Rock look brutal in several matches, especially that I Quit match, which was just amazing. He worked so hard to make other people look good, and he was in that Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker, which is maybe the most famous wrestling moment of all time, where they started the match on top of the Hell in the Cell, and The Undertaker threw him off. Just threw him off. Onto the floor. Not the floor. He did land on the announcement table. He didn't land on it quite right. He buggered himself. He landed so hard he bit through the top of his own mouth. People thought he had some snot hanging out of his nose for the rest of the match. That was one of his teeth.
Fucking hell. I did not know that. I remember him taking masses of abuse, and I really liked him as a character. And when he teamed up with The Rock, it was Rock and Sock, or The Sock and Rock.
Brilliant. Mr. Socko, yes. Would you like a fact, an estimated fact about Mick Foley, aka Mankind, Cactus Jack, Dude Love?
I would. I'd very much like that.
Fact. Mankind won his first WWE championship in the WWF while it was still a touring company, and in a single week actually won the belt for the first time three times in different cities before the fourth match finally aired on TV. Or fact. In 1998, Mankind and The Rock were the first wrestlers to ever have a match air live on the internet.
I think. Now, I remember 1998. I used to have to go to the university to send emails because the internet was so in its infancy.
It certainly was in 98. It wasn't a good experience, I doubt, if it was true.
I just don't think. Again, that's kind of around the time when I was watching wrestling. Mm. And you know what? If they're a forward-thinking gambling kind of company, yeah, all right, I'll go with that. That was the first live-streamed thingy.
The fact was, Hearst, that in 1998, WWF, now WWE, streamed a live match featuring Mankind on the fledgling WWE website, pioneering digital wrestling broadcast. It is true.
Yeah.
The other facts is not true at all. When Mankind won his first championship, it happened on an episode of Raw is War in 99. Now, at the time, there was a lot of rivalry between the WCW and the WWE. And because the WWE was pre-recorded and WCW went out live before, at the same time, as WWE, they would often give away the results at the beginning of WCW so people wouldn't watch Raw because they knew what was going to happen. Very rude. So when they gave away the result live on air that Mankind was going to win the World Championship, over 600,000 people turned over to watch it, and they reckon it helped turn the tide in the Monday Night Wars that WCW would never recover from. So there you are.
Wow. Screw those guys. Ooh. They deserved it.
All right, Rankers. That is our list. It's over to you. You need to vote for which one of us is correct. As you know, one of us is always correct. Which one will it be? Go to www.top5faceoff.co.uk and cast your vote. Leave us a little comment as well, because we love it.
We do. We love that a lot.
If anything else we need to tell the Rankers, Hurst, we're in all the normal places. Top 5 Face Off. Just look for us. You'll find us. Hopefully we'll also be on Spotify on time this week as well.
We should probably tell them what we're going to do next week.
Yeah, that's the other thing we do that I regularly forget, Hurst, isn't it? Hurst, can you see the wheel of decision?
Hey, can you make it bigger? it's more like it. Right. There we go.
Anything on the wheel? Well, it hasn't changed since last week, to be honest, only that Wrestlers has gone. So if I remember correctly, you're hoping for Blur or Oasis songs.
Or chick flicks.
Or chick flicks, yes. All right. I would quite like to do something absurd, like Kitchen Influence as well. I think that is so ridiculous. I would be into that. Sandwiches, top 5 sandwiches. That's going to be contention city, yes. Yeah. Because I have weirdest piss sandwiches. So shall I spin the wheel of decision?
Hit it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. Oh, yes!
Yay! Awesome.
It is the top 5 Blur Oasis songs. So
excellent.
We're going to sell a 2-decade-ago debate about which is best.
Oh, exciting.
All right. Well, you remember that week we listened to the Spice Girls discography a lot because we were doing Spice Girls songs? They had, if I remember correctly, 33 songs for us to listen to.
Yeah.
There's a fuckload more than that this time.
I like Blur and Oasis, so I know more of the songs that I like from them. So I don't have to listen through the albums to try and find something that I don't mind putting on my list. It's going to be, I could name 5 songs right now that could happily make the list. So.
You've got to find one that you don't like as well.
Oh, yeah, there was quite a few of those.
We are done. Hurst, we're at the end. Hurst, we've done it. Hurst, we've done Wrestlers. Hurst, we've
smashed
done.
It. Smashed.
Smashed it.
Well, you can get out of your hot box now.
Oh, thank God. He's bastard high. Look at the state of me.
Yeah. Look how ridiculously tanned I am. I've not been on holiday. I just go in the garden a lot and do pottering about, watering things, picking up shit, just generally being outdoors to do stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's too hot. I'm coming in. But I've turned right brown.
There you go. There's a lovely visual image for you at home, Rankers. Hurst, be brown right now.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say, Hurst, or are we done for the week? Hurst, the competition.
The competition, of course. We have decided that given the Spotify
shenanigans,
we want to give everyone another week to sign up to being a Patreon if they want to get involved in it. We will definitely be picking it on the next episode, whether anyone joins or not. But we did think that was probably fairest to give everyone a chance.
In case you have no idea what Hurst is talking about, because this is your first episode, Hurst has painted a lovely picture of Simba from The Lion King, because Hurst is an excellent painter, and you can win this painting by simply becoming a Patreon. Every one of our Patreons gets entered into a hat. The top tier Patreons get 5 entries into the hat, so if you really want this picture, and you do, because I've seen it, and it's ace, go look on Facebook, join our Patreon. You're in with a chance to win. Bloody good chance as well, because it's not like we're drowning in the pictures. Yeah,
we are not. Also, just to clarify, it's not paints, it is pastel.
I use painting. No, it's fine, just people's make picture appear, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of our wonderful Patreons, Hurst, we should, as always, thank the members of our official supporter hub.
Let's do it.
They are Ross Taylor, Kovac, and Dav Paz. Thank you very much, guys. Please rewind this podcast for the next person to come along and listen, and we will see you next week.
Indeed. Thanks for everything. See you later, Patreons. See you later, Rankers. We love you.
Bye, Rankers.
Top 5 Face Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Hurst, can you see the wheel of decision? Hurst, I can't hear you. Have you done something? Have you pressed the button on the front of your microphone by accident?
I might have pressed the button on the front of the microphone by accident.
This isn't going in the show. You know, he called himself the Phenom. Everyone else called him a Phenomenon. And everyone else, fuck, Jesus.
Phenomenon.
Great. Just another bit to stick at the end.
I suppose ID.
That's why they have ID. That's what exists, right?
Yeah. And whilst I stand hopefully at the checkout, thinking, are the red
lights? You're not getting carded for shit. You're insane. Look at you.
Every now and then I offer, I say, did you want to see my driving license? And they chuckle. And I'm like, ouch. Could have just said no.
Brenda Byrne's big fan of the wrestling. Was it the O2 watching when they came over to the OK? Was it the U2 watching OK? What the fuck? Top five face off.